Okay, can we come to God in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you that we are coming before a God who is great, the God of our salvation, the God who is holy and true and perfect, a God who knows us more than we know ourselves, the God of truth, the God of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that today we are coming by your grace and by your mercy. And as we sit at your feet to listen to your word, I pray, Lord, minister to us. Reveal your will to us. Enlighten us, O Lord. And allow us, Father, to fall in love with you. To grow, to mature, to desire you more in our lives. I pray, Lord, govern our thoughts, our spirit, Lord, so that we may indeed submit everything in your hands and you will have the liberty to correct us, rebuke us, instruct us. O Lord, you are the God of the word. Bless us, Lord, as we receive it. And so, Lord, I pray that in your grace, you will enable me, your servant, to serve you and your people today. And I am merely a mouthpiece here, Lord. And I need your grace, Lord, to indeed declare your word with clarity through your enabling and anointing. O Lord, I need you. Let your grace abound in me. Bless now your congregation, Father, in the proclamation of your word. We submit now ourselves to you, O Holy Spirit. Work in us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Please bear with me if in one way or another, I know this is an English service, and if I speak in our language, just bear with me if I need to point out some points that I need to point out in our own language. Yeah. Today, if we are looking at the Christian life and the things that are happening around us, we would say that the Christian life is really difficult. And when we see Christians eventually not continuing in the faith, and others are struggling in their walk with the Lord, we come to God and say, Lord, what's happening? We are in a time today where people are neglecting God. We are in a time today where people don't love the church the way it should be. We are in a time today where people don't care about the things of God. But at the same time, we have to ask ourselves, are we like that? When it comes to the things of God, are we lazy? When the things of God, are we continually moving on in the calling that we receive from the Lord? Do we continually honor Him with all our heart? This is something that we need to ask ourselves because this is important in the way we live as Christians, because we say that we are Christians. And indeed, we have to continually assess ourselves, have we been walking with the Lord faithfully? Have we been living in His plan and purposes in our lives? Today, I will be sharing to you a passage that is familiar to us, and I hope that even as we look at it, each one of us will be refreshed by the Word of God. I entitled my preaching today, Persevering in the Race of Our Faith. Persevering in the Race of Our Faith. And we will be looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's read it. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Before we go through these verses, I'll just give you a short background of the book of Hebrews. The author of the book of Hebrews is unknown, although it is suggested that it may be Paul, Silas, Apollos, Luke, Philip, Priscilla, Aquila, and Clement of Rome. But indeed, it is unknown indeed on who wrote it. Now, Hebrews is grounded in the work of Levitical priesthood. That's why understanding the book of Leviticus is essential for properly interpreting this book. It was written around AD 67 to 69. And it is written to Hebrew Christians who suffered rejection and persecution by fellow Jews. They were Christians, some who are immature, are tempted to go back to Jewish rituals and traditions. The community of believers also was facing the possibility of intensified persecution. That's why the writer mentioned in Hebrews 12, verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. It is also written to Jewish unbelievers who were convinced of the basic truths of the gospel but had not placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They were intellectually persuaded but spiritually uncommitted. At the same time, it is written also to unbelievers who were attracted by the gospel and the person of Jesus Christ but who had not reached to final conviction about Him. That's the way the book of Hebrews is written. The theme of the book of Hebrews is the superiority of Christ. In chapter 1 to chapter 4, we would see the superiority of Christ to angels and Moses. In chapter 4, verse 14 to chapter 7, the superiority of Christ in priesthood. In chapter 8 to chapter 10, the superiority of Christ's priestly ministry. In chapter 10, second part, to all the way to chapter 12, the superiority of the believer's privilege. And that's where we are taking our passage. And chapter 13 talks about the superiority of Christian behavior. Now, brethren, when we look at as we will be looking at chapter 12, we have to see first and understand that the chapter that precedes that chapter, or chapter 12, chapter 11, talks about the heroes of the faith. And it is indeed a blessing to know that there are people, heroes of the faith, who indeed finished the race that was set before them. I would want to point us also that we are called with that race or for that race. Therefore, brethren, to persevere, let's look at our passage first. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, to persevere in the race of faith, we must do three things. Remember, we belong to a race. Second, respond to what God called us to do. And third, regularly examine your life to see where you are in the race of faith that was set for you. So we will be looking at these 3 points. Let's look at the first one. Remember that we are part of the race. Now, we have to see, brethren, that everything we have in our Christian life is because of the grace that was given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything in our life is because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we receive salvation. And no believer can be called a believer without Christ and His cross. Through Christ, forgiveness was granted to us by God the Father. Through Christ, we had been reconciled to the Father. Through Christ, we had been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous light. Through Christ, we are God's children. And through Christ, we became part of His body, the church, to whom He is the head. Are you thankful that God placed you in His body? Amen? Kasi kung hindi, wawa ka naman kung hindi ka bahagi ng katawan ni Kristo. Yan. But since we are called by God to be part of the body of Christ, whom He is the head, through Christ also, we are part of a race. Through Christ, we are part of a race. In Hebrews 12, in verse 1, it says, "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Take note of that phrase, "the race that is set before us." Now, this verse is very, very clear that the race was already set before us. We are already in it. If you are a believer, you are now in that race. Now, we have to see, brethren, that the race also that was set before us is not a competition to one another. We are not competing in this Christian life. We are not competing with fellow workers or servants in this church. We are not competing with fellow ministries in this church. We don't compete with one another. In this race, brethren, the race that was set before us, brethren, it is a race for completion. It is a race for completion and to help one another attain it. In this race, brethren, we help one another so that all of us will finish it. The reason why there are cloud of witnesses, I'm going ahead of myself, is because they are a reminder to us that they were able to finish it. And we can finish it as well. Now, in the race that was set for us, we are to do 3 things. First, remember the faithful witnesses, as I'm saying. In Hebrews 12, first part of verse 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Okay, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. The reality that there were people mentioned in Hebrews 11 who finished the race should challenge us to be faithful in accomplishing the race set before us. And we have there Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And they all finished the race. And we have things in common with them. They were sinners like us. They committed mistakes and failures. Yet, they finished the race by faith. That's the reason why, if you think you can finish it, you can finish it. Because if they are able, we are able as well. And we need to also see that God was with them in the race of faith until the end, even with all these mistakes and failures that they had. And another thing that we have in common with them, that's the reason why we can finish the race, is because their God is also our God. And He is with us in our race of faith. Now, as we continue in the race of faith, since we have already faithful witnesses, brethren, we have to do the second part, release all the encumbrances. Okay? In the second part of chapter 12, verse 1, second part, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, take note, brethren, that when we talk about encumbrance, it does not mean it's bad. When you are running a race, we need to let go of the encumbrances that weighs us down in running the race. You cannot run the race with your bags. You have to leave it. You cannot run the race using your jeans. You need to use the lightest clothes that you can wear. Wala akong nag-i-steal to para tumakbo sa race. No. Remove those things. But though these things are not bad probably in our lives, it can hinder us in our race. And such encumbrances must be identified in our lives in order that we may remove them. And we need to ask ourselves, brethren, what are those encumbrances that hinders us so that we can race freely in the race of faith that God gave us? Now, of course, the Lord bless us with work. And blessing, works are blessing. But if we are working so much that we don't have time with the Lord already, it can become an encumbrance. I'm not saying you don't work anymore. But if you are not able to spend time with the Lord, yes, we may be working 8 hours a day, but if you are working more than that and you cannot even spend time with the Lord, then that becomes an encumbrance. Even our business. We can be so busy earning that we can let go already of the things that we must be doing in our faith, in our walk with the Lord. Cell phones are helpful to us, but it can become an encumbrance to God's plan and purpose. You might be loving that cell phone more than the people around you already. And you cannot even give time to the Lord. You may have Bible apps in those phones, but you don't even open those Bibles for your growth and maturity. You don't even read them. And that becomes an encumbrance. It's not bad, but it can become something that weighs us down in our walk if we are not sensitive to these things. Friends or barkadas are good, but it can hinder us in accomplishing God's purpose if most of our time are spent with them. I'm not saying it's bad. It's good to have friends. Even with our fellow brethren. But you have to ask yourself, are you spending more time with them that you don't spend time with God? And it may be hindering God's plan and purpose in your life. Again, encumbrance are things that are good to us. It's not bad, but it may hinder us or hamper us in our growth with the Lord. So we need to identify these encumbrances. And there are many other things probably that the Lord is telling you right now and saying in your mind, that's the encumbrance. And that's the thing that the Lord is speaking to you right now. That's the one that probably hinders your growth or your service or your maturity in God. And we need to remove them. Third, repent of all sin. Again, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, third part, let us lay the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us lay aside, rather. Let us lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, ultimately, brethren, sin hinders us in our spiritual race. All sin. And we need to identify them in our lives. We need to confess them. We need to repent of these sins. Even the things that probably hidden in your heart. And God is saying, that's the thing that I want you to repent of. This hinders us in our race. We need to repent. Now, brethren, we need to repent because repentance will help us move in the right direction. Repentance will help us move in the right goal and for us to focus in the right path. As believers, we need to remind ourselves that we are walking on the narrow road. In Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You are walking in the narrow way. And to walk in the narrow way, we must be repentant. That's the reason why we need to identify the things that we need to remove in our lives. At the same time, repentance opens the way for relationship with God. If you are struggling in your relationship with God because of that sin, you need to repent. And take note that repentance has two sides, turning away from sins and turning toward God. At the same time, repentance demonstrates real faith. Confession of sins and a changed life are inseparable. I will repeat, confession of sins and a changed life are inseparable. That's why if you are really repenting, you are really turning away also from those sins that God reveals in your life. At the same time, repentance must be tied to action or it is not real. If you don't put it to action, if you just say, Lord, forgive me, but you don't do something about that, then you are not repenting. You are not repenting. Brethren, following Jesus means more than saying the right words. It means acting on what He says. Repentance also makes inward change a visible reality. A changed life with new and different behavior makes your repentance real and visible. Repentance shows that you are really changed. And those are the things that we need to do, brethren. That's why to persevere in the race of faith, we must remember we are part of the race. Let's look at the second point. Respond to what God called us to do. Now look at that part. Run with endurance. And let us run with endurance, with perseverance, the race that is set before us. In a sense, brethren, as we are running with endurance the race of faith that was set before us, we are to look at the faithful witnesses, release the encumbrance, repent of sin. And this is an ongoing thing in our lives while we are here on earth, that we need to continually remove all those encumbrances. We need to continually look at the faithful witnesses. We need to continually repent of our sins so that we can endure, we can persevere continually in the race of faith. That is why we are to run with perseverance. Run faithfully until the end. Run to finish what God called us to do. The race that was set before us is a marathon race, and it needs perseverance until the end. Brethren, the challenge of Paul to Timothy and to each one of us is this. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. That's the challenge of Paul to Timothy, brethren. Because as we run the race, brethren, God also calls us to glorify God. God called us to glorify God as we run the race. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, you know this, it says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And we are to glorify Him in every area of our lives. At home, at work, in your relationships, in your decisions, and yes, in everything that you do. We need to do that. That's part of our race. Part of our race, brethren, is to also deny. But hindi lumalabas. There, number two. To deny ourselves. In Luke 9:23, it says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" Brethren, we are called to follow Jesus, not the world. And every day we need to deny ourselves from the things that hinder us from following God. Every day. And brethren, we are called to follow God's will for us, not our will. At the same time, we are also called, brethren, to be conformed to Christ. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." The Lord called us to Christ-likeness. It is not an option. It is something that we must live every day of our lives. It is something that we don't just desire, something that we do in our lives. And since we are called to be conformed to Christ, it says in 1 John 2, verse 6, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." And we need to walk like our Lord Jesus Christ, brethren. And the scripture gives us a list of a walk that we should walk like our Lord. We should walk like him. And brethren, we should walk in humility, in purity, in contentment. We are to walk in faith, in righteousness, in unity, in gentleness, in patience. We need to walk like him. We need also to walk in love, in joy, in thankfulness, in his light, in his knowledge, in his wisdom. We are to walk in truth, and we are to walk in fruitfulness. Just like Peter said, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." That's part of our calling. At the same time, we are also called to be holy. Holy. Ephesians 1 verse 4, it says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 7, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." In 1 Peter 1, 16, it says, "He who called us is holy, so we are to be holy." And we need to assess ourselves. Have we been living a holy life like our Lord? Pwede ho siguro nating sabihin, "Oo naman, pastor. Namumuhay ako sa pagiging holy. Huli ako dumating sa service. Huli ako sa maraming bagay." Diba? Is that happening in our lives? O ang ginagawa mong holy pa rin, hinuhuli mo si God? We need to ask ourselves, are we living in holiness? Now, take note, brethren, that we are to glorify God, we are to deny ourselves, we are to be conformed to Christ, and we are to be holy. But there is another thing that we need to do, and that is, what? To make disciples. We are called to make disciples. We know this in Matthew 28:19-20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." In 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, you know our mission statement. Have you read them? Have you read it? In a nutshell, we know, win, deepen, send. Amen? Kasi yun yung pinakamadaling i-memorize. Win, deepen, send. The win there, brethren, is sharing the gospel. The deepen there is discipleship. The send there is for those whom we share the gospel and discipled must also win or share the gospel and disciple also. Brethren, all of us were saved. Amen? And that's a blessing. But we need to understand that when God called us in His kingdom, the Lord called us also to this mission, to this commission. Everything that we do in life, the changing of our character to glorify God, to deny ourselves, to walk in holiness, these are all important, brethren. To be conformed to Christ is good. But as we do this, brethren, we must be making disciples. The Lord did not say, attain this first before you make disciples. The Lord did not say, you have to reach this certain period in your life before you go and make disciples. The Lord did not say that. If we will look at the Greek word for the word go, it says, as you are going in your Christian life, which means as you are growing, as you are maturing in your Christian life, make disciples. Share the gospel. Disciple people. Now, brethren, we need to ask ourselves in this area. Kasi pwede hong pagdating ho dun sa aspeto ng deepen, gusto natin lagi yun. We love that. We love to grow in the Lord. We need to mature in the Lord. We always love that deepening aspect in our Christian walk. But we have to ask, have we done also our part to share the gospel and make disciple, to disciple someone? And my point is this. All of us heard the gospel. Someone shared that to us. Amen? Someone probably discipled you so that you would grow in the Lord. Amen? The question now is, did that stop with you? Tumigil ba yun sa'yo? Pinasa mo ba yun sa iba? Did you also share the gospel and disciple those people? This is important in our life as a church. And we need to be reminded that our mission in this life as believers, at the end of our life, and I hope before our lives ends, we have to ask ourselves, did it end with me? I did not pass it on. Did you pass on the faith that you have? Did you share the gospel of salvation that you received from the Lord? We need to ask that. Or it already stopped with you. We need to ask that to ourselves. We are, because the Lord commissioned us, brethren. And I hope we're getting this very important point in our lives. Lahat po ng ginagawa po natin sa pananampalataya po natin ay mahalaga. Pero hindi po natin pwedeng isantabi yung talagang panawagan ng Panginoon para sa atin. And that is to go and make disciples. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, it says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's our call. Brethren, in all of this, glorifying God, denying ourselves, being conformed to Christ, to be holy, and to make disciples are very important goals in our race. And brethren, to do this and to persevere, we need self-discipline. And you can run with endurance in the race if you don't have self-discipline. And with regard to discipline, brethren, the scripture reminds us of the things that we need to do also. We are reminded of renewing our mind in Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And we need to renew our mind daily, as well as we need to put off the old self and put on the new self. In Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, it says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. As we are reminded also in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have become new. Or new things have come. Brethren, we need to do this. We need to discipline ourselves to renew our mind, to put off the old, and remind yourself that I'm not the old person anymore. I am a new creation in Christ. And that is something that every day we must do in our lives. To remind ourselves that we are renewed people. That we have been changed. The Lord called us to that. And part of this discipline, brethren, is we need to be fruitful as well. In 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 9, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Brethren, we need to be fruitful in our Christian life. That's why we need training with right habits in our life. We achieve great things by training ourselves. And through proper training, we form proper habits. And we can intentionally choose those habits that are desirable for the formation of our character. And we need to identify those things in our lives. In Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Have we been thinking that way? That is important. And brethren, habits and practice seems obvious and ordinary to us. Pwede natin sabihin, ah, madali lang naman yan, pastor. But take note, brethren, without proper habits, we will never build forward momentum as we strain toward the goal of the high calling of Christ. And this momentum is built through a steady obedience to God's word and His will. Yun po yung pinagmumulan ng proper habits. A steady obedience to God's word and His will. Which means our habits should be based according to the word of God. according to His will, according to His plan, according to His command, according to His purpose. Because if not, brethren, inspiration and talent will only carry you so far. But take note, the habits you form will sustain you. Pwede yung talent, may talent ka, may inspiration ka, pero may hangganan yan. May hangganan yan. Pero kung ikaw ay may tamang habits, that will sustain you. That's the reason why, brethren, the Apostle Paul understood the importance of discipline. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, Paul emphasizes that as followers of Christ, our spiritual lives, as followers of Christ, as followers of Christ, our spiritual lives form the core of our character. It says in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Brethren, the crown in the first century athletes, they won a laurel wreath. And this is a wonderful illustration for the things of this world that we attempt to reach. A laurel wreath withers in just a few hours. It would never be worn a second day. Likewise, the victories and recognitions of this world are short-lived. As believers, with increasing eternal perspective, we know that our prize will not fade or wear out. That's the reason why it's worthy to run the race. Now, as we spend time in the disciplines, brethren, Paul says we are to run like runners. And during the course of a race, runners fix their attention on the finish line and run a disciplined race toward it. At the start of a marathon, all the runners are crowded together. But over the course of the race, they spread out. And an interesting thing happens. Fewer people finish than start. Brethren, the race of life is not to be compared with a sprint. Life is a marathon. And in the marathon, it is not how you start, it's how you finish that matters most. Dalawa lang ho na join kong marathon sa talambuhay ko. Isa natapos ko, yung isa hindi. Nakakalungkot kasi yung isa, yung hindi ko natapos, yun pa yung pinakamaikli. Yun pa yung pinakamaikli, pero di ko natapos. But, brethren, when you run the marathon race, it's not easy. There are times in your running, when you are tired already, you stop. You walk. Others sit. When I did not finish the race, sumakay na ako sa jeep. Pagod na ako eh. Yun po yung nangyari sa akin dun sa race na hindi ko natapos. But brethren, there are things we need to assess in our lives. At the time, I did not prepare for that marathon. Lack of adequate training may not show up at first, but enthusiasm and passion will eventually give way to fatigue, even in our Christian life. Kasi mula, okay ka, pero later on, ayoko na. Pagod na. But brethren, for Paul trained for his daily spiritual journey like a world-class athlete. Why? Because he wanted to have the self-control to finish the race without being disqualified. And this is important. We need to understand that all race, like any other sport, have rules. Therefore, we are to discipline ourselves according to the rules. And what are the rules in the race of faith that we have? What are the rules? Where can we get it? The ultimate rules in our race of faith is the Word of God, His will, His plan, His purpose, and His commands. In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Brethren, the point here is, have you followed God's word, God's will in your life? Have you been living according to the will of the Lord? At the end of our race, it's not about, "Lord, I serve you. I serve you in Siga. I serve you in Ilaw. Lord, I was there in Burnham Park. Lord, I was there when there was a concert. I was there in every service in the church." But the question is, have you done His will? And we need to ask ourselves, are we in His will? Are we walking in His will? Are we disqualifying ourselves? One way or another, if that is happening in your life, the Lord is still giving you a chance. And you have that chance. Why? Because of the fact, buhay ka pa. At dahil buhay ka pa, God is giving you that chance. There are many who are disqualified at the middle of the race. Now, I don't say before the actual event. I don't say before the race, because God is the one who placed you and qualified you to be part of the race. You are qualified because God qualified you at the time of your salvation. He placed you there like the way He placed you in His body. You are qualified. But there are many who disqualified at the middle. Why? Because they do their own rules at the middle of the event. They are creating their own rules at the event. Creating our own rules at the event of our spiritual lives will disqualify us. Take note of that. If your rules is not in accordance to God's rules and will, then you are disqualifying yourself. Doing your own will disqualifies you. That's the reason why I say, nakakalungkot pong isipin na makikita mo minsan, Christians are not moving forward anymore. Christians who would say, ayoko na mag-serve. Christians whom you know was so faithful when he started, then eventually, you ask, what happened? Now, the disqualification that is mentioned here, brethren, is your effectiveness. You become ineffective and useless. And that is if you are a Christian. Of course, many times we don't want to be called useless person. Ayaw nga po natin matawag na tayo po ay inutil. Pero may mga pagkakataon mo pa umaaring namumuhay na ho tayo sa aspeto na nagiging inutil ho tayo sa kaharian ng Diyos. We are becoming useless because we are not living according to His will. We are living according to our wants and desires. We have not been following the Lord. We are choosing ourselves rather than God. You have to assess that. If you want to be an effective Christian, identify the habits you need to build into your life so you can run with endurance and with diligence. You need to strengthen your life in these habits. Habits such as prayer, devotion or quiet time, reading, studying, and meditating on God's Word and applying or obeying what God teaches in His Word. These are habits that must be real in your walk with the Lord. These are basic in our Christian life, but must be real in our daily living. These are our habits in our Christian life. You can add to it according to the Word of God, but these are the basics. We need prayer. We need study of the Word of God. We need to meditate so that we can apply. We don't just read, we don't just hear the Word of God and don't apply it because that will not cause growth in our lives. We need to obey. We need to apply. And we need to ask ourselves because many times it is possible for us that we know a lot of things already. If you are already old in the faith, by God's grace, 34 years na po akong Kristiyano, at kailangan ko pa rin tanungin sa sarili ko, atong nasan ka sa 34 na yon, hanggang saan yung maturity mo? And we need to ask that to ourselves as well. Kumusta yung prayer life mo over those years? Kumusta yung pag-a-apply mo sa salita ng Diyos over all those years? O sa buhay mo, ang pinili mo lang ay yung gusto mo. Pero yung mahirap na pinapagawa sa'yo ng Panginoon, hindi mo ginawa. Brethren, we need to deal with that in our lives. Disciplined habits will give you the momentum you need to not only move forward, but also to run your earthly race with strength and purpose. The Bible speaks of self-discipline as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's why we say also that transformation is the work of God done with cooperation. Because God supplies the power, but there is a direct correlation between the amount of transformation taking place and the types of activities a follower of Christ engages in. And to put an illustration, brethren, John Ortberg uses an illustration that may help us understand this better. Consider the difference between piloting a motorboat or a sailboat. We can run a motorboat all by ourselves. We can fill the tank and start the engine. We are in control. But a sailboat is a different story. We can hoist the sails and steer the rudder, but we are utterly dependent on the wind. The wind does the work. If the wind does not blow, and sometimes it doesn't, we sit still in the water no matter how frantic we act. Our task is to do whatever enables us to catch the wind. Which means we need to flow in the direct guidance of the Holy Spirit in us. Brethren, discipline and dependence go hand in hand. We all need self-discipline, training, good habits, and dependence on the Holy Spirit because we are called to glorify God, to deny ourselves, to be conformed to Christ, to be holy, and to make disciples. We need discipline and dependence on God and the Holy Spirit to run the race. Which leads me now to the third point. To persevere in the race of faith, we must remember we belong to a race. We must respond to what God called us to do. Third, regularly examine yourself to see where you are in the race of the faith that was set for you. Brethren, the race calls us to assess ourselves in order for us to finish the course marked for us. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And we need to ask God, "Lord, search me. Search me, Lord, where am I in my walk with you, in my relationship with you? Assess me, Lord." In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, it says, "Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you are disqualified." Brethren, even in 2 Peter 1, verse 10, Peter said, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." Now, these verses, brethren, reminds us of continually examining ourselves in all that we do. Evaluating our own condition in the race will help us eventually move forward with greater impact when we finish the race. If you do not evaluate your Christian walk, your Christian life, and you don't face God with the things that you need to face, then it will disqualify you. If we don't stop what we are doing to examine ourselves, we might end up disqualified in the race. It is possible for us, sige ka lang ng sige, go ka lang ng go. Tanong, nasa will ka pa ba ng Panginoon? Nandun ka pa ba sa pinapagawa ng Panginoon? We need to ask that to ourselves. Because it is possible that we might be thinking that we are in God's will when in fact God is saying, no, you're not in my will anymore. We have to assess ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26 to 27, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Assess yourself. Examine yourself. Evaluate yourself. Brethren, when there are things that are not pleasing in God's sight, in the way you are running in the race, then repent now and go back to God and His will for you. Your assessment of yourself will help you press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As Paul said in Philippians 3, 12 to 14, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press on, brother. Press on, sister. Evaluate yourself. In the race of faith, we must remember we belong to a race. We are to respond to what God called us to do. We are to regularly examine our life regularly examine your life to see where you are in the race of faith that was set for you. And how can we do this? We can do all this by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's how we do it. Kung hindi sapat yung heroes of the faith sa chapter 11 ng Hebrews, meron si Jesucristo na kailangan mong tignan because He is the author and finisher of your faith. And because He is the author of everything that we have, especially our faith, He will fulfill every purpose and plan He has for us. We need to look up to Him. In Philippians 1:6, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And take note that as we look at to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we are to look to Him in two things. First, looking backward on how He lived and what He has done in the cross for us. And that is our salvation. We need to always go back to that. That's how we move on in this race of faith. We need to continually look back. Go back to the gospel. Go back to how He saved you. Go back to the grace of God. Go back to His mercy. Go back to what He has done. At the same time, looking forward to everything that He prepared for us in heaven. Looking forward to everything that He prepared for us in heaven. And that is a glorious eternity with Him and the Father. Tandaan natin, at the end of our race, may uuwihan ho tayo eh. The finish line is heaven. And we will be with God and with Jesus for all eternity. That's why, brethren, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The reason why He was able to suffer the cross and even despise the shame, brethren, is because He knew what awaits Him. And take note, brethren, our Lord Jesus was so focused in doing His Father's will and purpose here on earth. He was governed by the joy that was set before Him to glorify His Father and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And brethren, that is the same thing God called us to do. To look unto Jesus and to glorify the Father until we reach the finish line. Amen? And brethren, may we finish the race that was set by God for each one of us, like Paul. And he said in 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. And I hope, brethren, like Paul, who was able to finish the race, may we finish the race faithfully. Amen? Amen. We now go to our reflection. Can you stand up now and look for a partner? Again, as you do reflection, go to what God taught you in this sermon, to what God revealed in your heart. Share that. Don't preach, of course. Just share it. Share what God taught you and the things that God wants you to do or fix in your life.
Make sure you give time for your partner to share. Don't forget to pray for one another. Pray for one another already. Bring now your prayers to a close. Shall we all stand up? And let's end with this song, Find Us Faithful. Oh Lord, help us indeed, Lord, to be faithful to you until the end, O God.
We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who gone before us, line the way. cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Our lives are living testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us give to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light the way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them. The clues that they discover and the memory they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light the way.
May the footprints.
May the footprints that we leave.
That in your grace, we may finish the race of faith. And help us, Lord, that as we continue in this race, may we hold on to you. May we continually look up to you to live according to your word, according to your will, according to your plan, according to your purpose. So that we will finish it. Not disqualified, Lord, because that is not your will for us. But rather for us, Lord, to see each one of us completing the race for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you for revealing your will to us. Help us now, Lord, to walk in them. O God, lead us. Lead us, Lord. O God, we also pray for our tithes and offering. That as we give to you, remind us, Lord, that you are a faithful provider. You are our faithful sustainer. You are the one who gave everything to us. And may we also honor you, O God, in giving back to you, Lord, our tithes and offering. And may we even please you the way it should be. May we give according to your will. And thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for you are so good and faithful to us. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless each one who will give their tithes and offering. Bless them according to your grace. Prosper their business and their job, that they may continually honor you even in this aspect. And thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness upon us. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that we have you in our lives. Thank you that you are with us in our race. We give back the glory and honor that belongs to you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, brethren. Please greet one another with the love of the Lord before you go.